This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
Do you think Batman's as crazy as some of the other people do?
No. I mean, that's just me coming into it, though, but... Like, I guess the new thing is, like, with them saying that he committed suicide, right? Or thought about it or whatever.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, I saw that, but I mean, if you put yourself in his perspective, I mean, I for one have never thought about it, but I haven't had that traumatic stuff happen to me before. You know what I mean?
Right.
So whether it was symbolic or actual, thinking about it, I always assumed that maybe that thought always went through his mind at the beginning anyways, before he went on his, like, 5-year journey
right.
of training and stuff, you know?
Yeah, I mean, that's the way I've always kind of looked at it, and like you said, they never really wrote about it before.
Mm-hmm.
But I always kind of assumed that there was some darkness there.
Right, yeah.
And that, you know, I mean, just because the, you know, in the 78 years now, I guess, or so of comic stories,
mm-hmm.
just because they haven't addressed it, I still kind of always felt there was something.
Right.
And this latest arc definitely seems to be going darker than I think the first story kind of led you to believe it would.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that might be where the disconnect is.
Well, see, it's like... Like with the Ace story in the annual, right?
Okay.
That stuff happens all the time. We just don't expect to see it. Well, I shouldn't say it happens all the time, but it happens more than we realize. And we just didn't expect to see it when we opened up a Batman comic or a comic in general, you know?
Right.
The dog fighting type thing. And
right.
So it just added more of a personal realism to the story than what we're used to seeing, I guess.
Yeah, that's true, because Batman's always... even though it is people, and mm-hmm. it's a guy without, you know, super abilities,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, no matter how many times I'll read it and think, you know, that could be me if I had billions of dollars and
right.
fight training, you still... You know, it still seems very fantastical.
Right.
And then, you know, when they do put something real world in, it makes it, you know, it kind of makes it more, you know, like it comes out of nowhere and kind of shocks you, but then at the same time, it makes it more relatable.
Right, yes.
Once that initial little shock passes, I guess.
And see, and that's what I was hoping, like, at the beginning that Tom would do.
Right.
When he, you know, because, I mean, the Vision's the Vision, right?
Yeah.
And I'm not going to relate to an android.
Right.
But with that series, it made it more realistic style of what would happen.
Right.
You know, and like Sheriff of Babylon's pretty much the same thing. It's not shock or gore just to be shock and gore, you know?
Yeah, it's
like stuff that actually could happen over there.
Yeah, and it's stuff that I'm sure is happening.
Right, yeah, exactly. And that's like, when you bring that element of realism to Batman, to me that like amps it up even more.
Right.
And then it didn't matter if it was the suicide stuff or the Catwoman thing that's been lingering on.
Yeah.
Because it's the same thing, like, their relationship's toxic, period.
Yeah.
You know, so it's just been fun toxic or fantasy toxic forever.
Yeah, and I think part of it also is the way that the last couple issues have been told, the way that they're written more mm-hmm. in like a narrative letter
right.
than a traditional comic, I think maybe is taking people out of it a little more also.
Yeah, the first one where Selena did it.
Right.
I didn't really enjoy it as much because, you know, what was said in her narrative letter wasn't what was happening on the panel.
Mm-hmm.
But I could see maybe that's him thinking of the letter as he's going through things.
Right.
And then this time it's pretty much the same thing. Like, there's not too much connect with what he's saying in the letter to her and what's actually happened on the panels.
Right.
But it could be his motivation to get past it all, though.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I get, that's the way I read it anyway. So it was his, like, self-motivation, like, Darkest Hour thing. And, you know, because he's come up with Mission Impossible all the time.
Yeah.
And so there's got to be some kind of testicular fortitude, if you will.
Right.
Or something that he looks back on or digs deep down to getting past that situation to make the impossible seem possible in his mind.
Yeah, I definitely agree that it's, you know, it's, I don't even know how to say what I mean, but, you know, I mean, this issue in particular, I think, really put me into his mindset, I think, more than any other Batman comic that I've read in a long time has done.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, some of the stuff with, you know, with Tim Drake recently, where, you know, where he's not going to give up, you know, nobody else is going to get hurt, no one else, you know, you see that and you feel, you know, what he's going through.
Right.
But at the same time, you know, seeing how he's relaying, you know, the story from when he was 10, you know, and thinking about ending it because everything was just too much. You know, it's the first time that you've really gotten into that part of his psyche. And I mean, you know, as Batman, you know, he's got some dark stuff. I mean, we've seen it for years.
Right. Yeah.
But it's, you know, this little glimpse into it. And I mean, adding to that, the fact that the art in this issue was unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
That the whole thing sets such a great tone. And, you know, as the letter is being read, you know, the whole book is just such a fluid feel that it seems like almost every page is Batman in motion, just pushing through, you know, those feelings that he had.
Right.
And, you know, it's another of those situations where, you know, the odds are totally stacked against him, and he doesn't give up, he doesn't stop fighting because he's Batman. And you just see, you know, how he came to that, you know, that mindset and everything else.
Yep. I agree. And that, and like I said, that's what has put this book on a different level for me than what it has before.
Right.
I mean, even previous Batman, you know, like, I always like the Elseworlds stuff more because it kind of dips into this deeper, darker, humanized Batman stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree completely. One page in particular that I just want to call out as being, a couple issues ago when Batman was standing outside of Arkham and there was the big spread with, you know, him outside the gates. And it was just like, that is just amazing.
Yeah.
Again, the one page where he's rappelling up the towers, and it's like the aerial shot from above the island. Oh my goodness. That just the detail, and I mean, there's, I don't even know how many, 8 or 9, 10, 12 Batmans, you know, moving up the wall in the one frame. So that you know, it feels like he's, you know, riding up his grappling hook or whatever.
Yeah. Yep.
But oh my goodness, the detail in that page, that, yeah, I tweeted to him that I wanted Michael Janin to do a Batman mural in my house.
Yeah, that would be...
because he is killing it on this book. It is so incredible.
Yep, I agree. Totally agree. There's a couple of panels like that, but you're right, like that one that sticks out the most in my mind right now.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at it now, and even the water with the waves crashing looks like fluid water. And, you know, just like every bit of that looks so good. That, man, oh man, I wish I could draw because, like, this kind of thing, this is what I aspire to be able to do, but I would never.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, even like, I think it's like the second or third page where you have all the guys. Like, you have the initial him dropping down on the guy, and they're firing guns at him, and then you have another panel where he's just punching them and kicking them and whatnot.
Right.
And then there's the panel where they're all just lying all over the place and he's running through.
Yeah. Yeah. Like
that's pretty awesome.
With the stairs.
Too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cause
oh, yeah.
Each person that he's taking out isn't laying the same way.
Right.
You know, which, I mean, it could be, which brings more of the realism to it, too. Because, you know, there's what, I'd say, 15 guys on that page.
Yeah,
they're all laying the same way.
Yeah, it's true. As he came running through, it's just how he knocked them down. knocked them out. And there's guys, you know, through the railings, guys laying on the stairs. You know, up against the pillars.
Yep. And then, like, he's running, and you can see the motion of his cape.
Yep. Yeah, and it looks like the last guy by him is in the process of falling down.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah. Yeah, I mean, this art in this book. I mean, I thought that the first run, the first arc was good with Finch.
Mm-hmm.
But, man, oh, man. This just, like, kicked it up to a whole different level.
Yep, a whole different level.
You know, you know, there's the other one where he's fighting through the giant crowd of people,
mm-hmm.
you know, towards the end. And there's that one page where it's him, you know, kind of with his hand on the ground and just all the bodies laying on top of each other.
Yep.
That, you know, like you said, it's everybody is different.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there's any repeated anything in there that... He drew each individual person and came up with a way that each one of them got knocked out.
Yep.
Which is
it's easy crazy. To like draw one person and then flip it and mirror it and you know.
Yeah.
So that way that now you have two people and then you can do the other one and you know crop it and whatever. But yeah, each person is like, and you can tell like right behind on that page that you're talking about, like right mm-hmm. behind Batman. You have guys piled up on top of each other, and then you have the guy with the gun that's kind of like half laying there, half not. And then you have the other guy that's propped up, his head's propped up on the guy's
on his
side.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, and that's just awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, like I don't even know how long this must have taken him to do. This is unbelievable, the amount of detail and everything into that. But, man, oh man. By the way, you're listening to Rebirthically, episode 29. I guess I should throw that in there. I'm Aaron. He's Ronnie. We were talking Batman to start things off. Yeah, anything else you wanted to talk about with Batman?
Do you think this is your favorite book of the week?
No.
No? It might be my top three, but it's not my favorite one.
See, this is a very strange week for me, because... A couple books that I've been kind of on,
mm-hmm.
I loved.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? Out of all the books I read this week, I don't think I could even really rank them all because they were all good.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, I don't think that I read a stinker.
Right.
I mean, I skipped a couple of the titles, but...
Mm-hmm.
The main books that we've been talking about, I think the seven or eight, whatever it was, the main ones that we read,
mm-hmm.
fantastic. That I guess going along with the Batman lines, Nightwing.
Yep.
Oh my goodness, this is the Nightwing. I mean, I've been enjoying Nightwing so far, but this is my Nightwing in this book.
Yeah, this is the Nightwing I've been waiting for.
Yeah. Yeah, I am so happy with this issue because, like I said, I've been enjoying the run so far, but it just didn't. It still felt more like Grayson than Nightwing.
Mm-hmm.
And I've just been waiting for something to fall into place. And man, oh man, talk about awesome! I am so happy with this episode, this issue.
Yeah.
You know, like, of course, the only thing that I always find amusing is he goes, you know, to interview, to help out, to volunteer.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously the girl knows who he is. He was one of the Flying Graysons. He's from Gotham, and now he's here to help. And then all of a sudden the news is reporting, oh, Nightwing, you know, this superhero from Gotham is here.
Right.
I never understand how people don't put two and two together more often.
Right.
But, you know, I mean...
she does by the end.
Well, right.
Well, not purposely, I guess, but...
Yeah. Yeah, but I just think...
Yeah, I get what you're saying.
You know, the whole...
It'd be like Bruce visiting Paris, and then all of a sudden Batman shows up.
Right. Well, I mean, that's happened, but...
Well, yeah, it's just like Barbara and... in Japan or China or whatever, and then Batgirl's there.
Right. But I liked, you know, the page where he is being interviewed and he starts telling, you know, why he's there.
Yeah.
And I'm like, as I'm reading the page where he's talking about Raptor doing this and, you know, Bruce wanted him to do this and Barbara was talking about that with Batman and everything else. And you're reading it and you're like, well, I know this obviously isn't, you know, what he's saying.
Right.
But, you know, when he gets to that little panel where he's like, you know, that's what I wanted to say, but what I actually said was, you know, whatever. You know, it's the lighthearted, you know, joking Dick Grayson.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it was funny as I'm reading the issue, the page where he's sitting in his apartment, he decides he's going to unpack and just hang in. It's, you know, 8:31 and he's reading Robin Hood and then he watches a little TV and then I like how he's reading Robin Hood Rebirth.
Yeah, exactly.
And then, you know, he's again laying in front of the TV and then he looks for something to eat and then he's laying on the floor. And you see it's only been 9 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, that he's just totally, you know, just out of his element, just can't hang around. But when he first sees the helicopters, I guess, and the sirens or whatever, and when he put the Nightwing costume on, I know he's been in costume before.
Right.
But, like, this is the first time it really felt like Nightwing in a couple years. You know, easy for me.
Mm-hmm.
So, very happy with this issue.
I also like when he's doing his interview with her, he has a blue polo on, and on his left breast, like usually where like the Ralph Lauren logo would be, or the Under Armour logo, or whatever, it kind of looks like the Nightwing symbol.
Yeah. You know what? I didn't notice that until just now when you said that.
But yeah, that's pretty cool. Or at least a bat symbol, I guess, rather than...
Yeah.
Maybe it's a Wayne Enterprise clothing.
Oh, could be.
But yeah, like you said, I liked where he was like putting up stuff in his apartment to try to make it like a normal person's apartment. Yep. And there's a long box of comics on the counter.
Yeah.
And then it's funny because... it says Master Dick's things instead of...
Oh, yeah, on the box.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, yeah. And like you said, it's like only like 9 or 10 minutes, and he's like bored out of his freaking mind.
Yeah, because, I mean, he's reading the one book, and then he's watching TV, then he's reading a book, then he's watching TV, then he's talking on the phone with Roy talking about the TV show that he watched.
Yeah, right.
And then he's laying on the floor all bored, and you see it's 8:40 from 8:30.
Yeah.
You know, which, I mean, I don't know about you. I've been there, where you're just like, you want to do something, but you don't want to do something. You're just trying to come up with something to do.
Right.
And you're just like, oh, my God, I guess I'll watch TV. Oh, forget it, I'll read that. And then you're laying, like, all just giving up, and you realize, oh, my goodness, it's only been 10 minutes.
Yep, exactly. But, and I agree with you, too. It's like the first time that he's putting it on here, which isn't the first time we've seen him in costume, but...
Right.
He actually feels like the Nightwing that we've been waiting on.
Yep. Yeah, no. And the other thing, as he's flying through the town, and I mean, they showed this towards the beginning too. I love the slogans with the, you know, the PR people.
Uh huh.
That's some of the billboards that they're talking about are just fantastic.
Yeah.
Bloodhaven, a scary name for a great place to visit.
And get your blood up.
Yeah.
What the hell does that even mean, anyways?
I don't know. Maybe, you know, because it's all the casinos, so maybe they're talking, you know, like a Vegas, you know, kind of thing.
Right, right.
But, yeah, it finally feels like Nightwing.
Yeah. And that I like how it actually... Like, it would actually feel like... Because Bloodhaven's not had a hero before, anyway. So, like, the SWAT teams that's coming in to get the Gorilla guy. I can't remember his name.
Oh,
Gorilla Grimm.
Yeah, Grimm, yeah.
And they're like, no, we got it from here type of thing. Like, thrusting their authority onto him.
Well, I mean, that's kind of the same thing that Batman went through.
Well, right? Yeah. Right, yeah.
But I think this is more because you know, masked heroes are a known entity.
Mm-hmm.
I think now they're like, you know what? We haven't had this here. We're not going to be like those other places.
Right. Yeah.
You know, but the mystery with, you know, Grimm saying he didn't do it, and you know, trying to you know, ask. You know, that girl.
Tang.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To ask her, you know, it finally feels like, you know, the young detective story I've been waiting for.
Yeah.
Instead of a spy thriller.
Right.
You know, now, like...
Yeah, I'm totally with you. And like you said, like when we get to that part, like to the end of the book, I actually like where she as in the defacer, is looking at him, and then he's looking at her, but he's also seeing himself in the mirror,
right?
Part, which is pretty cool.
Yeah,
but has she been seen before, like pre rebirth?
I'm gonna be honest with you. As far as I know, this is the first time I've ever seen this character.
Okay.
That I think she was just created right here.
Okay. Because like he obviously knows her because he called her by the name or whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, and her hair's dyed too, so you can't really.
Or it could be a mask. Or not a mask, a wig.
A wig, yeah, right. So, he might not even put two and two together that it's Tang, but, I mean, it is Dick, and he's a good detective, so...
Right.
And he is at her apartment, or whatever, right?
Is it the office?
The office or the apartment? Oh, it's at the office, yeah.
Yeah, because he's at the community center.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, this is cool. This is actually the first issue where I've wanted... The second one,
right.
Or the next issue, right? Instead of having to labor through the next issue.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, it finally... this is what I grew up on.
Mm-hmm.
And it finally... as I'm reading it, and you know, I said it before, but when he's putting the Nightwing costume on, it was the first time I felt like a kid reading this Nightwing series.
Totally.
You know, that I was like, oh man, this is so great.
Yep.
You know, this must be how Mike Myers feels.
Yeah.
reading some books where I could not contain my excitement. I was like, oh my goodness, I feel silly that I have this giant grin on my face as I'm sitting on my couch, you know, watching Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles with my kids, reading this comic. But
yeah, this is like, well, I mean, it's by Wolfman and Perez anyway.
Mm.
Right? No, it's not. Never mind.
No, Seeley. Tim Seeley's writing.
I was looking at the thing. It just says it was created by. But
right.
Yes. Now, was the art in this one better for you than it has been also?
Or is it
just because we enjoyed the book more that the art seems better?
Has Marcus Toe or Two, I don't know how to pronounce his name, has he been doing the art before?
I
don't remember seeing his name.
I can check.
I'm looking it up now, and it does not... I don't know.
No?
I don't think so.
He didn't do last issue anyways.
No, definitely not.
So, yeah.
Yeah, no, this is the first. Oh, he did the, I think the Rebirth one-shot.
Okay. Which is the last issue that we actually cared about.
No, I mean, I cared about it.
However... Well, you know what I'm saying. That we thoroughly enjoyed it.
Right. Yeah, I can agree with that.
Where do you want to go from there?
You know what? Your choice. Pick a book.
What about Aquaman?
Nope, I don't like that one. No, go right
ahead.
Too bad.
Let's talk about that.
Yes. Go right ahead.
I say it every time this book comes out, almost, but like this book is hitting on so many different levels for me.
Right.
Because you got the United States side, you got the Manta being a dick side, right?
Yep.
And then you have Mira, who is afraid to even get involved because of the things that she saw with the sisters.
Mm-hmm.
Or whatever they are called. And then you have Aquaman, who's trying to shoulder it all.
Yep.
You know? And so, like, he doesn't want to attack anybody, but so he wants to wait it out and try to feel what's going on.
Yeah, just play defense.
Yeah, basically. And, you know, he's got... There is one thing that I didn't really care for, and we've talked about it before.
Is it the fact that Superman had to wear a mask to breathe underwater?
No, there's not. No, but that's funny. That President Obama's in it.
Yep.
Which kind of dates it. So, like, in 3 years, whenever you read it or whatever, I'm still going to know it's from this time or it came out this time.
Right.
Instead of just reading it for the first time or whatever.
Yep. I mean, like I said before, I enjoy having real world stuff and like emotion and things going into the comics.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't like real world people being involved.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've said it probably a dozen times so far during the course of this show. Just make it, you know, President Fitzgerald or something. You don't like. I get why you're putting in the actual president, but at the same time, like you said, it's the rereadability,
mm-hmm.
where you can put yourself into the story again is off.
Right. I mean, and you can even make him the likeness.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Obama, you know, and just call him something else and then be like, we know who that's supposed to be.
Right.
But, you know, yeah, and the whole Superman breathing underwater is kind of silly too, but
yeah, that last page, I was like, oh, this is such a good issue. I'm like, oh, they totally ruined it.
Yeah. and I did like the shark men or whatever they called them.
Oh,
the
yeah, the new
marines.
Yep. Yeah, that was interesting. And you know that they're going to shift into phase two at some point to see, instead of them looking like man sharks,
right?
You know they will just basically be sharks.
Yeah.
Which will be kind of cool.
Yeah.
But this issue, man, oh man. I mean, it feels like I'm reading a Jason Bourne novel.
Yeah.
That it's every side playing against everybody else, and no one, I mean, with the exception of Black Manta, nobody actually knows what's going on.
Right.
And I loved the scene where, you know, the woman's talking to him and she's like, you know, hit and run. It's working, you know, so they have no idea how few forces we actually have.
Right.
You know, because it is this small group, and you have at the beginning with Aquaman, where he's talking to all of his, like, the minister of, you know, the guy in charge of the beasts and the guy in charge of the fleets and the army, everything. He's like, everything we have is accounted for. Like, none of this is our stuff.
Right.
And then it turns out it's stuff that's been, you know, stolen or scavenged and,
well, like,
you know,
big,
sold off the black market. And
like the big alligator that comes up, I assume it's alligator or, you know, whatever. But like, you can tell that it has like a tech thing on its
head. The control collar thing.
Yeah, right. So, I mean, you wouldn't think of that if it's getting ready to eat your ass, but, you know.
Oh, yeah. Well, we can see it from looking, you know, from our vantage point. But like you said, yeah, if it's eating the boat that I'm on, I'm not going to be like, oh, look, it's being controlled by something.
Yeah, it's not Atlantis.
Yeah. Yeah, you just see giant sea creatures.
Right.
But this whole story, that it, for me, the first few issues, it felt off. But, you know, I think once this book started to hit its stride, I mean, man, oh man, it's another one. Just like with Nightwing, I cannot wait for the next one. I cannot wait for the next issue of this one.
Yep.
That it's really setting itself up. And even though we've had Aquaman and the Justice League have a couple confrontations so far, and, you know, they've agreed that he's not doing anything, but the attacks still keep happening. Mm-hmm. That, you know, that last page where Superman is like, you know, we gave you a chance.
You're right.
And they're all there. But, man, oh man. So good. And
yeah, so good.
And I think the art in this issue, I don't know if it's the same artist or not, but I think every issue this week, the art looked better than it had been.
Right. Yeah. I like the panel where Black Manta's like smiling and has his hand folded.
Right.
As he's looking on to the destruction that he's caused. Or
oh, yeah, like right in front of his mouth.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then, like, in an instant, just like a crazy person, he's back to serious business and, you know, we have to keep pressuring.
Yeah, and I liked when he's like, you know, have there been any captured? And she's like, no. And he goes, well, you know, there's no traces, which basically is saying, you know, make sure if they're captured, they kill themselves or something.
Yep.
You know, but man, oh man, this is good.
Yep.
This is a very good story. And I see Aquaman is one of those books. I've enjoyed it for a long time, but some of the storylines that they go through, either they're really, really good, or they're just kind of awkward.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, it's hard to really write a great Aquaman story, I think. And part of that, I think, is because balancing, you know, the King of Atlantis with Arthur Curry is difficult.
Right.
But this storyline is, it's balanced his two worlds, you know, his concern for his two worlds, his friends and family and subjects and, you know, his adoptive family up in, you know, in his town on, you know, in America.
Right.
Just like everything about this, it's written so well that it's all fitting together very nicely. And, you know, I mean, this might be, if they put out a hardcover of this run, mm-hmm. I would probably end up picking it up because I could easily see myself reading this again and again.
Right. And the artist's first issue was last issue, was 11. Last issue.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so he started with 11 and then has done 11 and then this issue, number 12.
Okay, yeah, because this is good. You know, I mean, like, everyone's facial expressions.
Yeah.
You know,
even, like, the detail of, like, his back brace or whatever. Yeah. And then scales of his suit, of his orange shirt.
And not, you know, not only that, it's all the, you know, like, they're underwater. So you see all the air bubbles as they're talking.
Right.
And things like that. And it, as I'm noticing it in this issue, I started realizing that I don't remember ever noticing that done before.
Right.
So I'm going to have to pay more attention. But, it's something that would happen, right?
You would think so, I guess.
So, I mean, yeah, I mean, maybe it's just that I've never noticed until now. But still, it's the attention to detail that really helped get me into this one. You know, everybody. Some artists, you can see, you know, they draw rooms full of people, and a lot of the faces are similar.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, if you look when they're on the submarine, there's, you know, six or seven people on the sub. Everyone, different expression, different...
Yeah.
Different look, different everything. And it's...
And sometimes the artist takes a cop-out and, like, not even attaches a face to it at all.
Right.
Depending on how close up they are.
Right. Yeah, I mean, even the floating head behind the, mm-hmm. the captain still has an expression of confused anger.
Right.
So...
And the details on the monitors when they're in the control room.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, it... Again, like I said, the art so far in these three issues, spectacular. And speaking of improved art, man, oh man, did Green Arrow look good or what?
Yeah, I was going to bring that up, actually, because I thought this was the best art that Green Arrow has had for a while.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the last few issues have had that... crayon kind of feel with
crayon,
I don't know if it's the coloring, I don't know where in the process that happens, but man oh man, Otto Schmidt did the art and the color for this one.
Uh-huh.
So I gotta say, I hope that he is on every single you know, every issue from now on, because this, and again, this was probably the best issue of Green Arrow, I think.
Yep.
Maybe since the one shot.
I can agree with that.
At least since early on.
Yeah. I like how they tackled the police thing and going viral and all that stuff too.
Yeah. Yeah, like this is another one that puts it, it's a guy that doesn't have superpowers. So you know he lives in the real world. And it's placing it in the real world where there's the reporter on the street talking to the people, and there's the, you know, then later there's the police officer, you know, doing his thing, mm-hmm. and the girlfriend is recording mm-hmm. the video, you know, of, I mean, it seems like it's a completely unjust, you know, beating. He just drags a guy out of the car and, you know, just sprays him with the pepper spray and everything else. You know, but that's what, you know, Green Arrow was. He was the man of the people.
Right.
And again, this is another one where there's some weird conspiracy setup that I'm interested to see where it leads.
Yeah.
You know, how that woman, you know, gets shot at the pool, mm-hmm. and the reporter, and, you know, everything. It's... who's setting him up, who's doing this, who's, you know, it's, you know, it has me very interested in what's next.
Yep, I agree. And like the whole, when they're talking to the homeless guy, right?
Yep.
And the drawing on the thing, like, you know, who's that supposed to be type thing. And, you know, you get your cutaway. Everything's flowing.
Great. Yeah.
And this one.
And not only that, speaking of that panel with the homeless guy drawing with the arrow scratching it onto the wall, there has not been a panel in Green Arrow as detailed as that, I don't think, yet.
Right.
In this run. Like, you look at the guy, his beard, you know, the hairs are all which way, his eyebrows are crazy, you know, he's got
dirt on his face.
You know, yeah, on his face and threads in his clothes, and then he draws a thing on the wall that's, like, crazy. But, this was so enjoyable. That finally, because I mean, I've been getting so close to just being like, you know what? It's time to trade weight on Green Arrow. And this just really knocked it out of the park.
Yeah, I agree. Totally agree.
Yeah. The only book I felt this week that was a minor setback was Green Lanterns.
It was a minor setback for sure, I guess. But
once it got into the story, I liked it a lot. But again, that first page and the second page where I have Simon telling me all about the Green Lanterns again.
Yeah.
Oh, this is what we do. Oh, it has no, you know, whatever, and it can't do this. And it's like, oh, we're the Green Lanterns of this planet. And you're like, oh my God, I'm three pages in, and you're doing it again.
Yeah, again and again and again.
Yeah, and throughout the whole issue, again, it was, you know, Jessica like, oh, you know, I'm whatever. Don't you think that I would be a Yellow Lantern because of my fear? And don't you think that, you know, that to me, it ruined my experience at the beginning of reading the issue. But as I kept reading, I enjoyed it a lot more. That it's, you know, I liked when you see the flashbacks of Frank in Coast City at the, whatever it is, I guess the little carnival or amusement park.
Yeah,
and he's
right
there with his girlfriend or whoever. And, you know, Hal shows up and he's giving people a ride with his ring.
Yeah.
And, of course, he disappears and he starts working out like a crazy person so that he can, you know, eventually at some point do that.
Right.
But, you know, just seeing, I guess it's the page after that where you see him losing his mind, where he is, you know, all these different lanterns. You know, he hits fear, so he's, you know, the Yellow Lantern for a panel, and then he gets past that, and then he gets angry, so he goes into the Red Lantern, and then he wants the ring back, so he's back as an Orange Lantern. You know, the way that this is done, you feel him losing his mind.
Yeah, panel to panel, it feels like that.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, it's...
Did you think the art was better in this issue, too?
Yeah, again, that's another one. I think it's the same guy that drew the last couple. But this is another one that, yeah, like, there was not a stinker panel in the entire book.
Right, agreed.
You know, that... I mean, I can't say it enough. This week, I think every artist just... I don't know if it was... Was it last week? Yeah, last week was the fifth Wednesday, right? So they all had an extra week, I guess, before this book came out.
Right.
I don't know if having a couple extra days was what did it. I guess we'll see in 2 weeks when issue 13's hit.
Right, yeah.
But whatever it was, man, oh man. You know, and unfortunately, if that's what it is, let the books come out once a month.
Yeah, I agree. This one, yeah. It's just like everything. Even like with Volthoom,
mm-hmm.
when he's got the Guardian down there by the heater grade.
Yep.
It's like detailed to hell.
Oh, yeah, when he's like glowing white and everything.
Yeah, yep, exactly. Yeah.
There are a few pages with the coloring. I think it's maybe the page after that when Volthoom is yelling at Frank. And yeah. He like releases just the rainbow of color.
Yep.
The way that that he's lit in the white with the lights and the color coming off of him and Frank, like, I don't know if he's cowering or if he's in pain or what it is, but with the color like reflecting off of him.
Mm-hmm.
It's so good.
Well, and like the panel above that, like where he's at the Guardian and like his hands like touching the Guardian's face.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And he has the different color spectrums coming out of his fingertips.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, this... Now I'm flipping to the front of the book to see who the colorist is, because this was good. And of
did
course,
you,
it's not
Did you notice
not
the thing that, like, Martin was talking about?
Which?
Where each Green Lantern book has different... Like, when they talk about the color pops more.
I did sort of notice, but I mean, I've always kind of noticed it. And I mean, in this issue, it didn't bother me.
Right. Yeah. No, it's never bothered me. I just know that we just took it for.
Right.
For granted.
Blonde did the colors on this. So.
I can see that. Yeah.
Yeah. Thumbs up.
Yep. Definitely.
You know, and even, yeah, I mean, on, like, the last page, when he's going to make them fight the weird Yellow Lantern versions of themselves.
Right, yeah.
They are, you know, a very bright, glowing yellow.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, you know, I don't remember if Martin was saying he didn't like that, right? That he said that was his one turnoff?
Yeah.
Yeah, for me, I kind of like it, where... It's popping the colors on the part of the spectrum where, you know, it should be drawing your attention.
Right.
You know, it's not every page.
My thing is, like, on that last page that you're talking about,
mm-hmm.
why is Jessica's hands blue?
Where? Oh.
On the very last page.
Is she wearing a glove?
I don't know.
Does she wear gloves?
I don't think so. I'm trying to scroll up to...
She does have gloves on. Yeah, so maybe it's the way the green and the yellow are reflecting off each other.
Maybe.
Because green minus yellow is blue.
Thank you for that science lesson.
You're welcome. I have little kids. I learn things.
Yeah, this book is amped up in the last three issues, or four, whatever.
Yeah, I just really wish that those first pages weren't there.
Yeah, I think this one was the mediocre of the bunch, but even though it was mediocre, it doesn't mean that it was bad the first six issues, seven issues of the run.
Right. Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much how I felt about it. Yeah, another one, I've been so lukewarm on Justice League...
Yeah.
This issue of Justice League was so good. And, I mean, it basically took place in a guy's living room.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's
true.
And the fact that, you know, they're at the one person who died when they were fighting the... Jeez, I always want to call them the Torment, and I never remember what they're actually called.
Yeah. I can't ever remember either because you say I have it on the tip of my tongue. You say Torment, and then that's all I think about.
Oh, I don't even remember. Whatever, the Torment. I'm calling them the Torment from now on, and the Kindred. Right?
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay.
The Kindred.
So the one person that died was this woman, and they're now at her husband's house, well, I guess her house, with the husband and kids, and he's this computer hacker, so they think that he's the one, you know, it's another one with, like, the kind of a spy feel.
Right.
You know, and I love the fact that he's like, no, honestly, like, I never would have done anything, but then the daughter is like, oh, yeah, like, I've been reading your code since before I knew how to read, that I kind of made this thing, but, you know, I haven't done anything with it, and of course, it's the little kid who's playing with the iPad.
Yeah.
You know, because how's he supposed to know?
Playing, yeah, and so, it's not realistic, but it is so realistic, if that makes sense. You know what I mean?
No, I could totally see my kids doing that.
Yeah, because all he's doing is just thinking about playing with his heroes.
Yep.
And then, you know, innocent enough that his heroes, whatever they did, actually hurt his mom or killed his mom in this case, right?
Yeah.
So, to him, it's just a game.
Right.
So.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure how old he's supposed to be.
Yeah, I would say probably like 6 or 7, maybe.
Yeah, because I mean, it's something.
And her being like 12 teenager. Or 13.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say any more than 13, but.
Yeah, I mean, it's.
And everything. It's all the details and everything. Like, you know, I live out in the country, so it wouldn't be a big deal. But, like, it'd be more of a big deal because you have neighbors around you if Batman, Wonder Woman, Aquaman, and Flash, and Cyborg, and Simon show
up. Yeah, if the Justice League
You know what I'm saying? And your neighbors
out.
Would be there.
Yeah, be like, exactly. Like, that first page when he's like, can we go somewhere? I don't want people.
Yeah.
You know, but right? when the fighting starts, mm-hmm. I love how the guy is like, oh no, that's so-and-so's house. Like, oh, you know what? They went away for the weekend, so I guess no one got hurt there.
Right.
But
I love how it's played full circle, like, from the beginning, too, because we did see him go into the garage before,
mm-hmm.
and we assumed that he was going to be the one that was crazy and vengeful and or whatever.
Right.
But it wasn't like that at all. It was just innocence that's cause destruction.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the one weird thing was when they did say, oh yeah, you know, it's going to bring up all of these villains. And I was like, oh man, like Justice League has fought some real heavy hitters. And, you know, that first page when it's double down.
Yeah.
And Flash is like, that really? This guy?
Yeah.
You know, and then of course, you know, you have, who was it, Giganta, I guess, was the next one to show up.
Right.
And then you have Count Vertigo. You're like, all right, I guess Vertigo's kind of cool. But, like, that one page where a bunch of people show up.
Yeah.
And you're looking, you're like, wow, these are, who was
Teen
it?
Teen Titans, like, villains.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm like, man, these are a lot of B and C level bad guys. I'm like, why would the Justice League be dealing with some of these people?
Yeah, because isn't it, like, the Hive or whatever they're called? Because you've got Mammoth in there and Jinx and right?
Yeah.
Isn't that what they're called? What were they called in the
Yeah, the Hive.
Yeah, the Hive, okay. Cause then you got Gizmo in there too, right?
Right. Yeah.
And Heatstroke, which is a total dumb name.
What, you don't like Heatstroke and Cold Snap?
Well, I mean, Heatstroke looks like Firestar.
Right.
But, you know, they can't have Firestar because she's more, but yeah, I was like, really? And then Major Disaster. What in the hell?
Yeah. But then after that, you know, Scarecrow shows up.
Yeah, true.
And you're like, okay, I can see Scarecrow causing some problems.
Right.
But then you're like, you know what? Overall, though, this is kind of a lame group of villains compared, you know, considering the people that the Justice League have fought over the years.
Right.
You know, where are all the A-listers? Right. And then Amazo shows up. And that's going to be cool. I'm very, you know, at least they ended it with a bang.
Yeah, right. Well, And not to say anything back, but like when they show like the high people like Jinx and Mammoth and whatnot,
mm-hmm.
their re-character designs look awesome and not just cheesy throwaway ones. You know what
right.
I mean? Even like Simon there.
Yeah.
He actually looks pretty cool as a villain or like somebody who would be a threat, you know?
Right.
And like Mammoth looks like Aquaman, Thor, kind of. You know what I'm saying? Like a mm-hmm. big, burly guy instead of a stupid throwaway character.
Right.
Which is kind of what they are. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like stupid throwaway characters, but they're not drawn as stupid throwaway characters. So even though they're B and C listers, or maybe even D listers,
yeah.
then they look like formidable threats to them.
Yeah, because like I said, when they're like, oh yeah, all these villains we fought are going to show up, I'm, you know, my hopes are getting up. I'm like, oh man, there's going to be some crazy stuff. Like maybe we'll see some like A-list Batman or Superman villains, you know, something. Or maybe some of the new gods or,
yeah.
you know, like any of that stuff. I'm like, this is going to be great. And I'm like, oh boy, it's a whole bunch of... I see these people on Teen Titans Go.
See, and the only thing, my only problem with the Mazo is the way he's drawn. He looks, I don't know, he looks like a rejected talk show host kind of thing with his shaved head and then his long front, you know, like, kind of like the soccer style.
Right.
But, I mean, it is what it is.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. It could just be...
That was my only disappointment, I'm saying, instead of, you know,
right.
the usual disappointment that I've had.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, this book, I've not cared. You know, I didn't like a lot of the early stuff, and the Kindred stuff I thought was, it was too long for what it was, that it could have been a much shorter and tighter story. And, you know, since then, it's just been like, all right, it's better. Like, I like when they were kind of all fighting against each other
mm-hmm.
and stuff in concept. But,
right.
like, the issues, I was still, eh.
Yeah,
but,
I agree.
Man, oh, man, this was the first issue of this series that I was like, this is a Justice League book.
Yeah, this you one know, is the first time it actually felt like a Justice League book. And really not a lot happened until towards the end.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, it felt like about 70% of it took place in this guy's like kitchen and living room. You know?
Yep, agreed.
But, I mean, that continues the pattern of, you know, this is the first time Nightwing has felt like Nightwing. It's mm-hmm. the first time Justice League felt like the Justice League. It's the first time Green Arrow felt like Green Arrow.
Yep.
That I don't know what happened this week, but like all of the books that we were kind of they're not terrible, but you know, they're not my favorites, were all pretty good.
Right.
And that brings us to the worst of the bunch. No, I'm joking. Superman is pretty awesome too.
Yeah, I like Superman.
Yeah.
Which was because I'm not 52 style. So, like, when I saw the cover of it, I was like, am I supposed to know who this guy is, Aaron? Because I don't.
Yeah.
And then, of course, he told me.
Yeah, but... come on. I love the cover, though, where Frankenstein has stitched into his chest.
Yeah, right. So I just thought it was like a Bizarro gone bad, basically.
Right.
Or, no. Because I remember reading that in Red Hood or whatever, it wasn't the first Bizarro that they captured, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, oh, well, this is a different one.
Right.
So, but yeah, same thing. Same concept for the week.
Yeah. So good. And I loved when Lois was at that local paper.
Uh-huh.
And the woman's like, do you think you could handle this? Do you think? And I'm like, come on.
Yeah.
Like, they have to know who she is, right?
Right, yeah. And I like where... is it Frankenstein? Is that who mm-hmm. it is?
Yeah.
Right? Okay. Because I didn't want to say a name out there, but like where he's crashing through the wall when she's yeah. talking to Lois and like her facial expression is like, I know just something happened. I'm just not going to look right now.
Yeah, where she's holding her coffee.
Like, what the hell's happened? Yeah.
Yeah, looking for Outcast?
Yeah.
Yeah. So good.
And then, like, somehow the next panel she turns into a midget.
Well, she's kind of crouching. Yeah, I mean, she didn't look that tall to begin with.
Well, no, but, I mean, I guess it's the camera angle, quote.
Yeah, I mean, look, because, you know, her knees are bent, she's leaning to the side.
Yeah, her leg's doing that funny thing that if my leg did that, I wouldn't be standing up anyway.
Yeah, yep. But, I mean, also, Frankenstein is gigantic.
Yeah, that's
so
true. Yeah.
But, yeah, this issue was great. I love when he's like, you are innocent, get out of my way, and just throws Lois aside after she's like hitting him with the thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, this was good. Another one. I mean, Superman's always good.
Yeah.
So I saved this one for last because there were a bunch of books this week that I was like, oh, I don't know. But everyone was great for me. So I guess I had no real complaints.
Yeah, I agree. And I liked the fight through the farm or where, you know, and like the whole reason why they went to the farm or to the countryside rather, because it's not really, I mean, I guess it is the farm because there's cows there and tractor and everything, but
yep.
His ship brings the girls to him.
Yeah.
So it's like, damn it, that plan didn't work at all.
Yeah,
then you have the old tough-as-nails farmer guy, like...
shooting him, and he's just... he's still walking towards him, and he's just standing there casually reloading his shotgun. He's like, you're a tough one, aren't you?
Yeah. And then Superman tells him that he needs to go away, and he's like, oh okay, I think I will.
Yep. My favorite panel in this entire issue was when Lois is trying to fly the little bike thing.
Yeah.
And Frankenstein is hanging on. There's that page. And then, like, there's at the bottom where, you know, the woman's freaking out that he grabbed on and he's, you know, Lois is trying to shake him. And there's the one where he kind of goes, huh? And there's the panel where he turns. And the next panel is just the close up of Superman's fist going at his face.
Yeah. Yeah.
That.
Great panel.
Yeah. I mean, I love in, like, movies or whatever when they do that where the guy turns around and you just see the guy right there punching him in the face from, like, the, you know, like from his viewpoint, but seeing it drawn where it's just like Superman's face, you see a little scowl in the fist.
Right.
It's so good.
So good.
Yeah.
And even like on the close up of Superman's face is pretty detailed too.
Yeah.
To where it's like drawn like realistic, I guess, instead of like cartoony.
Right. Yeah. I mean, this was another great one.
Yeah.
That I loved as they're fighting, and you know, Superman punches Frankenstein, and then like the next thing, he gets smashed into the tree because the bike comes back.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's like, "Sorry, I can't control this thing." But yeah, I love when he grabbed the woman, and Superman's trying to stop her, but he slices off the face.
Yeah.
You know.
And then Lois is like, what in the hell?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And even like the alien at the very last page there is drawn realistic, I guess, instead of cartoony.
Yeah.
So.
And I like that it's an alien in the button down shirt and like a cardigan.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, that's good. This is another good issue.
Yeah. Agreed.
You know, like for me, I would probably say Green Lanterns was my least favorite of the week.
Yeah.
But I still really enjoyed Green Lanterns.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if I had to pick a favorite, I would probably pick Nightwing. Just because, I mean, I've always loved Nightwing, and this finally felt like my Nightwing again. So it gave me that teenage joy reading a comic book again.
Right. Nightwing's my number 3, I think, just for that reason, is that I felt 12 again when I was reading it, because it was the same style that I was reading before, or when I was there. And then I'm going to have to go with Aquaman as my number one. And then Batman number two for the realism and aspect of it, like we were talking about.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, like, Aquaman...
But then, you know, like, everything else is, like, Superman would be, like, 3B, you know?
Maybe, yeah, I mean, that, maybe like I said, Lander. That's the thing.
You're right. And... see, maybe Green Arrow, but I... Everything's tied, though, after that.
Yeah, that's for me. I would put Nightwing because it made me remember as my number one. But then I think Aquaman, Batman, and Superman would all be tied at two. And then Justice League and Green Arrow would be tied at three, and then Green Lantern would be four. So it's still not even... you know, I mean, like, they're all so bunched up together that they were all seven books were so good. You know?
Yes, I agree.
And, I mean, we skipped, what was it, Cyborg and Harley Quinn?
Yeah. But, I want to make a side note that the Death of Hawkman miniseries... with Hawkman and Adam Strange is phenomenal.
Is it?
I love that. Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, like that one and the other one.
Deadman.
Yeah, the Deadman book. Mm-hmm. I'm just gonna wait for those to be out, and I'll just grab a collection of it.
And I like the Deadman one too. I just haven't had a chance to read this newest issue yet.
Yeah, but- I got about halfway through Midnighter and Apollo. Before we recorded, I'm enjoying it. I think that one also is really good. You know, I mean, I'm a huge Steve Orlando fan. And I'm a huge Steve Orlando writing Midnighter fan. So that one I was not going to wait until I can grab a collection of, but the other ones I think I'm going to.
Yeah, definitely the Death of Hawkman one is hitting on all cylinders. It's great.
Yeah, I mean, I've always liked Hawkman, and he's another one that it's really hard to write Hawkman stories.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm glad you're not the only person that has said that one's really good, so I'm glad that it's decent.
And like, it's the first time I always thought Adam Strange was cool.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I've always thought Hawkman was really cool, you know, from all the way back from Super Friends when I was little,
right?
But like, I guess it's the realism, even though it's not part of the Rebirth books, like it's the actual realism that's going on in there, and
yeah,
what would happen? I don't know, but I would definitely check that out.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Are they all six issues?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So these were the third ones, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, Deadman's only number. Let me look, because I thought...
Because Midnighter and Apollo was number three.
Yeah, and I know Adam, or the Death of Hawkman was number three. But let me make sure that Deadman was... Because I thought it was only number two, because it's been... Yeah, Deadman's only number two. Because it was forever since one and this one came out.
Hmm.
Yeah, the number one of Deadman came out October 5th. And then the second one came out this week.
Huh. I'm wondering,
you know, it's like a... To me, it feels more like Dr. Mirage type story, which weren't high on, but...
No. Yeah, I mean, I didn't even finish that first mini, and I never read the second one.
Yeah, I do think that you would enjoy The Death of Hawkman, though.
Cool. Yeah, I mean, like I said, I'll get them both when they're... when there's a trade.
Right.
So, do you have anything else?
I don't. That's about it for me.
Cool. I guess that's a good place to end it. This has been Rebirthically. Thank you for listening. I'm Aaron. If you'd like, you can tweet to me at Aaron S. Bell. Ronnie, you can tweet to at RonBar316. You could tweet the show directly at NL Rebirthically. You could email us at rebirthically@gmail.com. And I think that's all the ways to get in touch with us. I'm not forgetting anything. Yeah, that's everything.
That's everything.
Yeah, feel free to stop by iTunes and leave a review, preferably a 5-star review. But I get it. Everybody does not like how Ronnie talks trash about some writers that are legendary.
Yeah, I'm just being real.
That's fine. That's why we keep you around.
Yeah. My hate tweets have gone down a little bit.
Have they? I'll start tweeting to you if you want.
I didn't say my tweets have gone down. I just said my hate tweets.
No, that's... Yeah, I'm saying I'll start hate tweeting you if it makes you feel better. But, yeah, I guess that is a podcast.